Welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth, as always, is sponsored by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker, dealer, and depository service, and we've been in business over two decades. Basically, what that means is that there's nothing in our industry, which is small, compact things worth a lot of money, that we don't not only deal in but specialize in. And I've been in this business, like I said, since about 96. So I've had a lot of exposure to what's out there. It's kind of funny, I guess, you know, that I was, you know, this weekend we were out boating on the lake and we go to dinner at Tony's and talking to some people and, you know, they say, oh, so you're a coin shop or whatever. And I'm like, you know, no, I'm not. I mean, we're so much more than that. We have one of the finest facilities nationwide. We're a depository service. We specialize in everything. But I mean, our real specialty is investment portfolios and helping people preserve their wealth and capital in a conservative, safe, biblical manner. Of course, that, you know, markets oscillate. We all know that. But if you go back, you know, 50 years, 100 years, 200, 300, 500, 1,000, 3,000 years, what has really lasted? I mean, honestly, and I did a big study on this, and you guys have heard me say this, but I've done a big study on this in the Bible, and the only things that are biblically attributed as true wealth, timeless true wealth, over time, is gold and silver. And I always want to clarify, these are sectors, they're asset sectors. And it's gold and silver, livestock, real estate, human life, precious stones, okay? So when I say sectors, when I say gold and silver, I really mean precious metals-based assets. That includes semi-numismatic, numismatic. There's a whole category. It's what we deal in, okay? So that's one of them. It happens to be money. It happens to be what God called money, used for money. It's what's, you know, every great nation throughout history has used for money. When they use it for money, it's an absolutely beautiful thing. The problem is, if you understand human nature, which is sort of the problem, which is the problem with socialism, and unfortunately the problem with capitalism, and the problem with money, gold, God created, endorsed, and authorized money is human nature. So what's happened throughout history, there have been over 100 great nations that have converted to a fiat currency. But what that really means is that they have debased the precious metals out of the money. And when we had our Constitutional Convention in 1789 in this country, then we had what's called the Coinage Act of 1792. Our founding fathers were brilliant. And the big run right now is to defame them, to deface them, you know, to make them these racial, white, slave-owning bigots that were rich and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And that is so not representative of their hearts. You know, does success make you a bad person? I mean, this is the socialistic pressure they're putting on people mentally. The comparison that I use is if you put two people, two men, women, well, I don't care what they are, you put them in a corner or whatever, stand them together, put $5 million in one guy's pocket. Does that change his character? Actually, I'll back up. Does that make him better than the guy next to him? I shouldn't ask if it changes his character, because in a lot of cases it does. And it says in the Bible that riches given by God come with no sorrow. So when God gives you riches and you do with them what he wants you to do, you're happy. You're not greedy. You want to share. You want to give. You want to be charitable. You want to be good. When you earn those riches through improper means, ill-gotten gains will be soon wasted. And then Malachi 3 talks about this thing called the devourer. That one blows me away. That means, you know, when you have money or assets, if you don't honor God with your tithes and offerings, there's something called the devourer that consumes your money. He consumes your crops. He consumes your house. He consumes what you have. And that's kind of a mind-boggler, the fact that, and really all it is natural law, physical law, the second law, thermodynamics, entropy, but it applies to natural law that you can't see. Where somewhere in there where Buddhists put karma or Hindus put karma, you know, they know. They know there's natural law. They know that if you live your life a certain way, you're going to reap certain things. God said that you reap, you will also sow, reap to the flesh, reap corruption, you know, to the spirit, reap eternal life, etc. So money in and of itself is inert. But the left wants to attack people who have had success. And the problem is God says if you're faithful with little, he'll give you much. But he also says if he gives you much, to him who much is given, much is required. He expects something out of you. And remember, God does not reward good intentions. He rewards obedience. And a lot of people get their feelings hurt because they had good intentions and something happened and it didn't go the way they wanted. And, you know, you hear about their intentions. Folks, God rewards obedience. I mean, that's just how he is. He's an action God. Intentions are emotions. Intentions are great. Can be, of course. But they're emotions. And it's really interesting that God does not ever say, if you feel A, then proceed down, you know, through door one. If you feel B, proceed through door two. And if you feel C, proceed through door three. God's laws apply equally to everybody. Why is that? Well, isn't that interesting? Would that maybe show that what our Constitution says, that we have unalienable rights, that we're all created equally, and that God's law applies to each one of us equally? Now, our ability to execute it, the struggles that we go through, you know, everyone's got their struggles, folks. You know, that's how the devil keeps you down. Some people struggle with a lack of empathy. Some people struggle with, you know, greed or anger or addictions or, you know, you name it. I mean, we could make a big list. I don't think that's probably the best thing to focus on the show. But you know what? I hope you know what your weakness is. It's because that is usually directly proportional to your strength. So something that God gave you as a strength can also be a weakness. For example, if you're a very powerful leader by nature, you may tend to have to really be tender towards others because you're going to tend to walk over the top of them, or maybe you're going to be a little overbearing, or, you know, et cetera. If you have a severe sensitivity, if you're highly emotional, you may tend towards addiction, or, you know, et cetera. You follow what I'm saying. But your strength is often your weakness. If you're, you know, if you're very articulate and your brain works super quick, you have to be careful not to overindulge, we'll say, in conversation sometimes. Sometimes you got to just shut up and listen. So, you know, God made us equal. Now, equal how? Very interesting, right? Because we ended the show last week. Well, let me finish up on this. So, Coins Plus, precious metals portfolio experts, with the highest rated privately held depository service in the Western United States. Very, very secure. Building was built from the ground up. I've gone through it all with you. The exterior walls are massive, massive, thick concrete and steel. We've got, military grade Kevlar walls, bullet and bomb resistant polycarbonates. Class 2 concrete vaults wrapped in antique Class 2 steel vaults, you know, and on and on and on and on. We've got heat sensors, seismic detectors, 24/7 surveillance from 42 cameras recorded in three different locations. Our vaults are recorded inside and out. When you have a depository with us, we cannot get into it. You have two keys. We have what's called a guard key. You can't get in without us, and we can't get in without you. And we did that on purpose because back in the day, Rainier Bank, ONB, Old National Bank sold off these really cute, nice little old bank buildings they had around the Northwest, and a lot of coin dealers bought them. One was Steve Baldwin, another one was Ross Hansen out in Seattle. Well, Steve Baldwin went to prison. Why? He was selling people silver, talking them into using his safe deposit box, pulling it back out and selling it again and again and again. I mean, like he didn't think that was going to come and bite him in the tail, you know? And the FBI only convicted him on 11 charges. We had customers. I mean, that's been a long time. That was in the 90s. But, he's still down there doing business downtown. I mean, at Washington Coin or whatever it's called. It's silly. It's just, and he can't have a business license because of his felony. So he puts it in other people's names and, whatever. But he was taking people's stuff out. So when I built my safe deposit boxes, I said, there is no way under any circumstances that I will ever be able to do that or ever be accused of doing that. Never, ever, ever. And so we take a key deposit. If you lose your keys, you got to pay. But the deposit's already been made. The locks, our safe deposit boxes are extremely secure. The absolute finest money can buy. They're all about 3/5 of an inch thick steel. Each one's an individualized vault. So people can't get into the next one from the one. I go to these big banks. They drop people off. I mean, I've sat in these big safe deposit box rooms for 5, 6, 7 hours, 4, 5, whatever, depending, buying estates with people. No cameras, no supervision. You could literally go in there with a crowbar in a bag. They don't even know, and you could just start popping boxes. Do not think I would ever do that, but it scares me, and it's happened. B of A's had some huge lawsuits, Wells Fargo, all kinds of stuff for missing stuff. And then, you can't prove what was in there because it's private. Inventory doesn't work. You could have removed it. Photos don't work. You could have removed it. People go through living hell when this happens. This will never, ever, ever happen here. We've had 1 week power outs and I haven't even had to worry about it. The last power out because of the huge wind storm and everything, apparently every business up and down division was broken into. The cops came to our place and asked if we got broke into. We said no. And the guy was like, what? We said no. He said, you had to have. Everyone else was. I said, we weren't. So we went outside and checked. Sure enough, they tried. But we've got extraordinary measures, we'll say, in the windows. And then even if somehow they did cut through that, then now they get to go through an inch and a half of military grade Kevlar and steel and concrete. It just, you can't do it. It's that and to do. And then after they get through all that, then they get to go after a class 2 vault, that's wrapped in 1 inch thick T1 tool resistant plate steel. Cannot use the word impenetrable. When it was installed, the installer, I said, man, it would take a tank to go through that thing. He said, no, sir, a tank would go over that thing. So we tried our hardest. Just trust me. When you store stuff here, it's very secure, it's very private, it's very anonymous, and it's very confidential. That's where I'll leave that. So last week, we ended the show on the Equality Act. And I want to bounce around a little bit this show. There's a few different things I want to cover. So I want to dig in here to some notes. I've been having some trouble with my email. I won't even get into that. We have a technician company keeps us on our toes. Can we do that? Anyway, I won't get into the details of it all, but what I do want to do is talk. Well, let's see. Maybe we should cover first. Let's follow up with the situation on the Equality Act. Because I think it's the ultimate great deception. This is the ultimate best way to tear America apart, okay? So the so-called Equality Act, right? It is trying to add religious, or not religious, sexual orientation to constitutionally protected rights, okay? Now, you come out of your womb a certain way. You come out of your womb with certain skin color, certain abilities or even disabilities. You come out with into a certain family with certain religious beliefs. And America believes that those rights, well, that those are your rights, that you, that's the way God made you, that's where he put you. And I'm going to look something up here real quick. Let's see here. They call them the unalienable rights. We go life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, right? And then we have that you cannot be discriminated upon. Let's see. Let me check some here. Trust me, today's been a day. And it's been a day. Okay, so let's see if we can find this. Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, self-evident truths. Well, that's their big thing. Anyway, men are created equal. But they, you know, essentially, I guess that's, it says, you know, I'm looking at this, all men are created equal. The meaning of the idea that all men are created equal. The Declaration of Independence states that among the truths that Americans hold to be self-evident is that all men are created equal. What did Thomas Jefferson mean by the statement? There are two ways that all men are, all persons might be created equal. One is they're all by birth or natural political equals. This means that no one is legitimately the ruler of others by birth, and no one is by birth the subject of a ruler. The other is that human equality goes deeper than just political equality. In this sense, all people are considered of equal value and worth, or equal in the eyes of God. All are created moral equals. Okay, so no matter how God made you, you are equal. Okay, now the problem that we're facing now is that we are beginning we're trying to make a constitutional amendment for special rights. Folks, this is insanity, okay? Now, we have to look closely. What is the greatest abomination to God? I mean, sexual sin. Or you could say, well, the only unforgivable sin is blasphemy of the Spirit, whatever. There is scripture after scripture after scripture that's kind of scary, that makes lists that says if people live by these measures, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those are scary. And I'm saying they're scary because sometimes they're like, you know, enmities and strife and, you know, and all this stuff. And you're like, geez, I have disagreements and fights with people. I hope God lets me in. Well, God wants people whose primary heart is to be with him, okay? Now, trying to equate or trying to convolute sexual immorality according to the Bible along with an open relationship with God has got to be very frustrating. I know a girl that we've met that was a waitress that were at a place we went many, many times. She knows the Bible incredibly well and believes that she's in complete congruence with God, and she's a lesbian, and she tries to convince other lesbians to say, I don't know. I mean, that's her business. I know what the Bible says very clearly about sexual sin and about immorality and everything. And so I guess she has to throw out parts of the Bible. That's got to be tough stuff. I mean, I you know, that's her business. And what I mean by that is I know what I think the Bible says, but I cannot tell you where she stands with God. But basically, the 15th Amendment is the right of citizens of the United States to vote, you know, shall not be denied or abridged by the United States by any state on account of. So this is basically, you know, race, color, previous condition, servitude. You know, we've got the Constitution is very clear on religion, race, creed, even, you know, wealth, whatever. The people, when you get into self-evident truths that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that was self-evident to Americans at the time of the writing of the Declaration of Independence. These people were deeply, you know, they say deeply religious. That's what the non-believers is. They're deeply spiritual, religious, whatever you want to call them. They were very familiar with the idea of universal human equality from the teachings of Christianity and from English republicanism. Oops. Isn't that interesting? They believed in that, republicanism. And then the socialist left-wing party began to develop slowly over time, where the government, you know, handouts is what they wanted. They wanted to go back to government control, government power. It's something in human nature. The book of Judges in the Bible makes it very clear. The people of Israel had a direct relationship with God. God was their ultimate conscience and ruler, but no. Other nations had kings and rulers, and that, by gosh, they wanted one too. And then if you read it, man, what a meltdown. You know, what a meltdown. All kinds of problems came from it. But God was trying to create on earth the same system that is in heaven to prepare us. Somehow, what we do on this earth is preparing us for what we're going to do in heaven. I can't tell you all that. God's kept that pretty secret, and I think for a good reason. But it does say that he even created the garden for Adam to tend to it. You know, work and activity, and, you know, and the book of Ecclesiastes says clearly that man gets his pleasures, he gets his peace strictly from a few very, very simple things. He gets his pleasures from work. He gets them from friends, food. And you're looking at somebody who, you know, Solomon, who basically sat in his window, he says, and watched men enjoying themselves and envied them because he had everything. He had 1,000 concubines. He had all the land, more land than anybody in the world. But no peace. None whatsoever. So it's very interesting that he says the simple things in life is where we get our pleasures. It's where we get our peace. And that is totally contrary to what the Bible wants us to think. We, you know, it talks, you know, about at the very end, you know, that basically everything's vanity. Another scripture I'm going to pop into, I'm bouncing, but this is a good scripture. The very end of Ecclesiastes, he says, purpose of the preacher, you know, in addition to being wise, the preacher taught the people knowledge and ponder, and he pondered, searched out and arranged many proverbs. The preacher sought to find delightful words and to write words of truth correctly. The words of wise men are like goads, and masters of these collections are like well-driven nails. They're given by one shepherd. Who's that shepherd? God, Jesus, right? But beyond this, my son, be warned. This is so important, folks. You know, this sophistication that occurs in people when they get their PhD, right? The words of wise men are like goads, and masters of these collections are well-driven nails. They're given by one shepherd. But beyond this, my son, be warned. The writing of many books is endless, and excessive devotion to books is wearying to the body. It becomes an inconsumable, insatiable desire. I know people who've done it. And then they talk to other people, and it almost becomes a competition. What book have you read lately? You know, did you read this book? Did you read that book? And are they, you know, how do they grow? You don't see internal growth from it. If anything, you see kind of a degeneration because you're filling yourself with the words of man. So it says, writing of books is endless and excessive devotion to books is wearying to the body. The conclusion, when all has been heard, is this. Here's life right here. The wisest man that ever lived. Fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. And so no matter what path you take in life, no matter where you end, you are going to ultimately be judged. You need to fear God and keep his commandments. That's what you're going to be judged upon. And he says this applies to every person. So no matter which direction you choose in life, you end up at the same destination. Okay, so people take on different personas, careers, families, trips, you know, meanings, causes, save this, save that, save the whales, you know, and God bless people that want to save the earth, as long as it's with God in mind and they understand the parables of the master leaving and leaving the servant behind to tend to the, quote, garden or to the vineyard. That's us here on earth. And as Christians, we should be the ultimate conservationists, not the other way around. The left claims everything the Republican Party has done, the left claims. The freeing of the slaves and, you know, all that kind of stuff and protection of them and etc. So anyway, so the reason I'm kind of bouncing off of all this stuff is this Equality Act is a big deal, okay? And what it's trying to do is add a component that does not belong there. And that component is sexual preference. Sexual preference, keyword preference. In July of 15, the Supreme Court in its ruling Obergefell versus Hodges, which legalized gay marriage nationwide, then Senior Associate Justice Anthony Kennedy, which he's the guy that pushed through Obamacare, of course, appointed by Bush, sadly, wrote in the majority opinion that the ruling posed no threat to constitutional religious freedoms. He even posited that gay marriages involve only the rights of two consenting adults whose marriages would pose no risk of harm to themselves or third parties, is what he says. Okay, well, then, you know, you get the other dissenting judges. You get Judge Alito. Sorry, I'm trying to shut the phone off here. Alito, Clarence Thomas, and Antonin Scalia, who passed away a while ago and was replaced by Kavanaugh, who you saw what they did to him. They, it says, beg to differ. Sharply, Alito wrote in a dissent that traditionalists would presumably be allowed to whisper their thoughts in the recesses of their homes, but if they uttered their beliefs publicly, they'd be labeled bigots and treated as such by governments, employers, and schools. Guess what? It says Alito's retort has been proven to be prophetic. This is where we're already there. And folks, if you've studied communism in countries, bam, this is it, right? So since this, you know, you've got business leaders, government leaders, students, campus ministries, judges, military personnel, counselors, punished, silenced, sued, fined. Why? Because of their Christian convictions concerning marriage. What is marriage? You know, marriage and human sexuality. But what is marriage? Marriage is absolutely an institution created by God for man in the Bible. God created man. He said he wasn't complete. He needed a woman. The woman fulfilled him. The two together become one flesh. Marriage is biblical. And when this was all going down, you guys probably who listen to me remember me saying over and over and over, if they're going to have gay marriage, don't call it marriage. It's something else. Call it a homosexual union. But don't steal the word marriage. God does weird things in my life. I had a lady from San Francisco who happened to be up here on her way through because her mother had passed in my shop, and she was one of the great activists in this nation. And I had a short conversation with her, and you can imagine what she was like, a real breath of fresh air. And I said that to her. I said, the problem is the word. Why do you have to have the word marriage? Why? It's not the same. Marriage is between a man and a woman. Get another word and the battle's over. No. She said, it is about the word. And it was, because it's the devil. He wants to steal what God created. The devil comes to steal and kill and destroy. The devil can't create. God creates, and then the devil ruins it. So basically, you've got this heavy pressure on Christians now, where, you know, over marriage and whatnot. If that's not enough, the LGBTQ activists are relentlessly pushing. They never stop for normalization of, I mean, think about this. Just let this settle in. Transgenderism, you know, and they want to gain footholds in psychiatry, medicine, news media, entertainment, education, government, social services. And then they demonize anyone who questions their new sexual dogma, and they always label them haters or bigots, and then they always transition into the lovely label of racism. Somehow they've learned how to segue into racism. So this momentum is carried on. So the Equality Act of 2019 is the latest and arguably the most dangerous example of this, and I'm getting this out of an article on Decision Magazine. After the House passed it this spring, who's in the House? The Democrats took the House back in 18. But the Senate, luckily, is still controlled by Republicans. Speaker Nancy Pelosi boasted to reporters, I say tolerant is a condescending word. It's not about tolerance. It's about respect of the LGBTQ community. It's about taking pride, being proud. As Americans, walking around saying, I am so proud to be an American. I'm so proud that we have lesbians and gays and bisexuals and transgenders, and they even throw in Q for queer. What? I mean, queer was a slang term when I was growing up for all of it. Tolerance is no longer enough. What is tolerance? Tolerance is accepting a view you disagree with based usually on your religious belief to be a peacekeeper. Peacemakers go to war. Peacekeepers cower in the dark recesses of society. So I could go on and on and on with this. But the bottom line is, as I discussed recently, folks, if they were able to add this as a constitutional right, it eliminates all the other constitutional rights. It eliminates states' rights. It eliminates the First Amendment of religious freedom and free speech. Think about it. The Bible, your religion, if you listen to this show probably, says this is wrong. It's a sin. I can go through the Bible, I think I did last week, and covered numerous cases where the Bible's crystal clear on homosexuality, homosexuals, you know, transgenderism, all this stuff. It's perversion. And it's not shocking that man's perverted. We're broken. We're fallen. For a long time, Dobson, Focus on the Family, had this big conversion program with a great level of success, incredible level of success. And now that is, you know, bigoted and intolerant and, you know, on and on. So you get the point. The bottom line is the Equality Act is a bill in the U.S. Congress. If it passed, it would amend the Civil Rights Act to prohibit discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity in employment, housing, public accommodations, public education, federal funding, credit, and the jury system. As of 2019, 20 states have outlawed LGBT discrimination, or LGBT, sorry, I'm not a professional at that yet, with members of the LGBT community being given little protection at a national level. The Equality Act would protect LGBT Americans from discrimination nationwide. Now, as a human being, they have equal rights. But they don't have protected rights based on sexual preference. As I said last week, and I'll wrap it at this, basically. I understand people are born with all kinds of sin. Jeffrey Dahmer, who was a mass murdering serial killer who drilled people's brains and did all kinds of sick stuff after he slipped them drugs. And his dad, in an interview, said that he had the same fantasies but didn't act on them. So there's some kind of genetic or spiritual battle going on there, or both, where some kind of demon gets a hold of them. And I believe there's spirits of everything. And there's definitely going to be a spirit of sexual immorality that gets a hold of these people. You got to watch who. I've had people I've allowed in my business that I know have brought bad spirits with them. This is a Christian-owned and operated business. I've had my share of, you know, bringing in the others. And I've had spirits brought in this place that are hard to break, you know. And it's just the way the devil works. He goes after what God makes sacred and is sanctified. The Equality Act, I'll leave it at this. Sex, it updates the definition of three main terms. Sex, which to include a sex stereotype, sexual orientation or gender identity, and pregnancy, childbirth, or related medical condition. It updates the definition of sexual orientation as homosexuality, heterosexuality, or bisexuality. Gender identity, it updates as gender-related identity, appearance, mannerisms, characteristics, regardless of the individual's assigned sex at birth. It's not an assigned sex at birth, folks. It's called DNA. It's the way God made you. The Equality Act expands the categories of public accommodations to include establishments that provide exhibitions, recreation, exercise, amusement, gatherings or displays, goods, services, programs, stores, shopping. It goes on, you know, food banks, care centers, shelters, travel agencies. Now, this is where it gets really bad. Even religious-based charitable organizations, transportation services, and it prohibits establishments from being construed to be limited to physical facility or place. So an establishment can be a group of people, et cetera, and so on. So essentially what it's doing is it's ultimately trying to give these people the ability to overtake churches, church-run organizations, spiritual and religious and Christian organizations. Their real attack, folks, is on Christianity. That is what it's on. We've got so many things combined going on right now. One thing I don't really have time to touch on real quickly, but what I'm going to tell you is, you guys may have seen this guy, Stansberry Research. He's always coming out with these big, long written things and these, you know, recordings. And he's a pretty smart guy, and he predicted a lot of things. I mean, he's predicted the Fannie Mae Freddie Mac crash and bankruptcy. He predicted GM and Gannett newspaper bankruptcy and crash. He talked about the crash of a bunch of corporations you've never heard of, but he also predicted the 2009 crash in the mortgage industry, and that oil would fall from over $100 a barrel to less than $40 a barrel back then, and et cetera. So now he's on this thing talking about what he calls a debt jubilee. And it says the enslavement of millions of Americans and the biggest wealth gap in the history of the Western world is leading to a political event unlike anything we've seen in 50 years. And he goes on, because I don't have a lot of time, and he goes through this whole thing about debt jubilee. And I did some research. And, you know, in the Bible, it talks about a debt jubilee where they basically forgive all this debt, okay, where everyone's debt's forgiven every 50 years. Well, there's one minor technicality. People then knew it was coming. So in the book of Leviticus chapter 25, they had a jubilee in the Jewish tradition that every 50 years it was a time for total forgiveness of debt. For freeing of slaves and the return of the lands, and even Pope Boniface the VIII proclaimed the first Christian Jubilee in 1300. But the people, now that one people didn't see coming. But the others in the Bible, they knew it was coming because it was biblically written. So people, what the point of the debt jubilee in the Bible was debt destroys a nation. Debtors are slaves to the lenders. The point was that God knew economically, you know, he said, do not charge usury. Number one, interest destroys an economy. If you understand how our fiat currency system works, every dollar is backed by debt. Every dollar is backed by debt. It's backed by nothing else. But then there's interest on it. So where does that money come from? So the Fed creates the interest and loans that to us. So then what happens is the interest overwhelms the debt, and we end up just in this vicious cycle to the point where we're at now, which is absolutely untenable, unobtainable, and incorrectable. You know, politicians that are preaching this socialism, ultimately, you've heard Bernie Sanders and some of these socialists say, I will wipe out your debts. I'll allow you to start fresh. I'll reward all your bad decisions. I'll solve America's massive income inequality. Well, who pays for it, right? It's you, me, and millions of Americans with pensions, retirement accounts, and other types of savings. Now, you think, oh, that's not going to happen. Well, they'll pass an act like they did in 1841 and invoke an executive order, as was done in 1933, and simply issue a mandate to the Secretary of the Treasury, which they did in 1971. But it all means the same thing. The Jubilee, which is a really lame name, will redistribute hundreds of billions of dollars from those who have invested and saved or become debt-free to those who can no longer pay their debts. You know, so in the real world, what does this mean? It basically means that it means bankruptcy. It means that people who've racked up all this debt, tens of millions of people and trillions of dollars, over the past 10 years, students, most of whom are young, have racked up enormous debts, which currently total $1.5 trillion. Okay? I mean, we're talking huge amounts of debt. These debts have ballooned to absurd amounts. The number of students with debts over $100,000 has quadrupled in the last 10 years. Stansberry says most of this money will never, it can't be repaid. It's just impossible. They've got all these special debt consolidations or debt extensions or, you know, deferrals. That's what it is. They have deferral programs where you don't have to pay. And then you've got these car loans. I was in the car business years back in the 90s, but now they're called liar loans because they don't verify income on any of these car loans. And they own literally over $1 trillion, owe over $1 trillion in car debt, and there's over $1 trillion in credit card debt. All these huge companies, you know, J.P. Morgan, I mean, the state of Florida, Vanguard, T. Rowe Price, Wells Fargo, UBS, on and on and on it goes. I could keep naming, you know, Goldman Sachs and the People's United Bank and Merrill Lynch and all these people are holding this paper. And they call them asset-backed securities. They're not assets. The difference between this and the quote-unquote mortgage crisis is that these are backed by no debt, or by no assets, I'm sorry. These debts are backed by no assets. And you're talking trillions and trillions of dollars. The American Jubilee, basically they had one in the 30s, sort of, but also what happened during two of America's other jubilees, the 40s and the 60s, and there's other countries that have implemented jubilees of their own. In 2015, the Croatian government used a jubilee to erase more than $20 million in debts. That's not much. For 60,000 people, that was money owed to banks, telecom operators, municipal authorities, and utility companies. Not a single person or investor was refunded for their losses. And you should. I'm looking at a graph right now of the Croatian stock index, which I'm sure is really important to you. But basically, the bottom line with the Croatian stock index is that it went from 1,800 down to almost zero just from that. And so we've got a debt problem in this nation that is mind-boggling. And it's important to understand they have to deal with it one way or another, okay? So I've always said it's either going to be through bankruptcy or hyperinflation, okay? Well, now we've got socialism on the rise. The rise of student loan debt in America. I'm looking at a chart here right now. 2006, $400 billion. That's a lot. 2016, $1.4 trillion. Now we're over 1.5 trillion. We're closer to 1.6 trillion in student loan debt. $1.6 trillion in student loan debt. These kids can't pay that back. They're going to let that go. They're going to have to. And then if you look back through the wage changes since 1980, there's essentially been the super high wages, CEOs, et cetera, have gone up 41% in whatever that is, about 40 years, okay? The middle income has gone up 6% in 40 years. Low wage income has dropped 5% in living. So basically, it's like, you know, people, the middle class, the most politically and economically stable part of our society, is disappearing on purpose, by fact, by intention. The foundation of the middle class in America was a long history of consistently rising wages. For millions of Americans, life got a little bit better year after year as the value of their wages increased and our economy grew into becoming the world's largest economy. Right? But that's not the case now. Low-income earners now make less in real terms than they did in 1980, and middle-income earners make just 6% more than they made in 1980, which is an increase of 0.00172% a year. Now, you got to remember, there's a lot more expenses to living. You've got so many expenses, I can't even list them off. You got all kinds of cell phones and electrical bills, and now you got LED light bulbs that are 10 bucks a piece, and, you know, you go down the whole list of apps and, you know, clothes, the way they've changed and the cost of all that stuff. So really, people are going broke. And what are they doing? They're getting loaded up in debt. It used to be that most Americans didn't hold debt outside of a mortgage on their first home. But after almost 40 years of declining real wages, Americans have now been forced to go into serious amounts of debt for just about everything they buy. I spent years in banking. I talked to people about their financial situations. You would be shocked at how much debt people have. And debt consumes you. It destroys your soul. It is a stressor. I've had it. Trust me. I know what it feels like. It's not good. And, you know, and people who live for payments, what's the payment? They buy a truck. What's the payment? They don't even think about what they're doing. I had a contractor who was telling me every 2 years a certain dealer, Dave Smith, would trade his truck in and give him the same payment. Well, the truth was he, and then I had him bring out his paperwork. He'd gone from 48 months to 72 months to 84 months, and he didn't even know. He did not even know that now he had some ridiculous payment over 84 months, 7 years on a truck. And, you know, it takes 2-3 years before the principal even starts to reduce on something like that. And so the working class is, the middle class is in trouble. The middle class are people, professional employees that are out working their tail off to make a buck. And so ultimately this has to be dealt with one way or the other. When we are getting pushed socialism so hard, it's really not redistribution of wealth, folks. This is redistribution of debt, okay? So you got to ask yourself, if this is the case, if what I'm saying is true, what has lasted? What makes it through this stuff? And I know that, you know, the different markets come and different markets go. Well, the stock market index, Dow, is only 30 stocks out of over 2 million OTC stocks, 2 million over-the-counter traded stocks. They pick 30 stocks. How hard do you think it is for them to manipulate 30 stocks? They even have Reagan put in what's called the PPT, the Plunge Protection Team, where he actually has the government, the Fed, infuse money into certain corporations to prevent crashes. When things start to drop too far, too fast, too hard, they shut the market off. And then they pump these companies back in with capital. And it is an inevitable destruction this country's on. Nobody in history has ever had, even proportionally, depending on the time, living expenses, wages, whatever, however you want to cut it. There's no country in the history of the world that's ever done this with debt. It's all caused by the central banks, and it's their ultimate goal. We have had, according to the book Creature from Jekyll Island, which I recommend everyone reads, We've had 21 government bailouts, but this would be the greatest of all. They just transfer all the debt onto your back, the U.S. citizen. If you've been one of these people that's tried to become debt-free, God bless you. But is that fair that the people who haven't? It was just like they actually considered this during the mortgage crisis. They were preparing us. It was a test to see how we responded. And, you know, they were seeing what you would do. You know, people generally stand back. Crowd behavior is really bizarre stuff. And what they do is they make examples of those people that stand up and try to protect themselves. And it's very unfortunate. Very, very unfortunate. But it's very, very true. So it's something that you have to, I would say, prepare for. I obviously sell precious metals-based assets, hard assets. They're going to make it. And when if things go crazy and weird and nuts and wild, you have to prepare yourself for it. You need to be ready. And I think in general, precious metals-based assets, if they've lasted forever, if God said they're good from the beginning to the end, he says you're going to be casting your gold and silver in the streets on the day of judgment. Obviously, they contained value until then. And then after you cast your gold and silver in the streets, then if you go to heaven, you get to see gold everywhere. You know, it's that important to God. So I would definitely consider making sure you are prepared accordingly to deal with this. That's about the sum of it in general, I think. So watch for that. Be prepared. Prepare yourself. There was another article I had here from a friend that I wanted to discuss on immigration, and for some reason I'm unable to find it here. But it basically was an article that talked about what happens if all these illegal immigrants leave our country. And it's not, you know, we've got the liberals fighting for them. The reason they're fighting for them, folks, is, you know, there's arguments and debates and whatnot. But the truth of the fact is they illegally vote. They want to give them freedom and amnesty. You know, they just fought Trump on the census asking a citizenship question. I mean, the actual Constitution gives the president the right to ask a citizenship question, and they're blocking it. Why? I think my opinion is they know the truth about how many people are here. And I think that they don't want us to find out. They've probably done their own research. Let's see. Let me check if I can find something here. I'm going to see something here on the citizenship and a census. Let's see. Okay, well, I don't have in front of me today the constitutional statement because Google likes to scrub everything, so I can't give that to you today. But I will tell you that the president has a right to ask citizenship. That is the whole point of the census. The Constitutional Census Act... census. One more try here. Let's see, a decennial. The United States Census is a decennial census mandated by Article 1, Section 2 of the United States Constitution, which states representatives and direct taxes shall be apportioned among several states according to their respective. Let's see here. It's a little bit long, but years. No person shall be a representative who shall not attain to the age of 25 years and been 7 years a citizen of the United States, who shall not, when elected, be an inhabitant. So that's one about presidential. And then they go, and the census shall determine the number of citizens in the United States, how can you determine the number of citizens without asking a citizenship question? That is exactly what the purpose of the census is. It's how to apportion taxes. And so they're shutting all this down, and we've got a drain on our country right now, and I'll cover that in the next show. I'll find that article. The level of drain on our country by illegal immigrants is so far beyond anything you can imagine. And you've got the left. Oh, we got to take care of these people. Why? They're not our citizens. And why? And quit calling them immigrants. They're illegal immigrants. There are immigrants that have immigrated appropriately and positively the right way. I know many, many of them. I also knew illegal immigrants when I was in banking out in, you know, Wenatchee and Yakima picking strawberries. They had to hide and keep everything in cash. They were paid cash. No taxes were paid. No responsibilities for taxes. No civic responsibilities. No jury duty. No involvement, you know. I mean, this is the ultimate outcome of this. And this is not what our country was founded on. We've got the loosest border, the greatest nation, the strongest nation in the country, the richest nation in the country. And we want to open the borders because we've got this massive, aggressive socialist movement, which is basically government by man, not by God. This is a spiritual battle. As the Bible says, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the spirits and principalities that reign. And this is what's going on. Our country is being taken over essentially by the left, which is basically godless. I'm not saying they don't go to church, but I'm just saying that they're not indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And so, folks, I mean, this country's under a lot of pressure. And I've talked to friends, and they've said, man, if this continues, where do we go? It's really on an accelerated track. God put Trump in. His name means final overriding factor or resource. And I say protect yourself and hard assets. That's what I recommend. I also ask if you go on Google and give us a 5-star review, business-related, call us. We'll verify it. We'll give you a free silver dollar. Give us 3 reviews, say Google, Bing, and Yelp. We'll give you 2 silver dollars, but you got to call us, 444-0044, to verify it. Thanks for tuning in. Take care. God bless, and have a great day. Bye-bye.